Welcome, welcome to the English podcast with Tommy from learnenglishwithtommy.com.
That's me. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are on this beautiful planet. That's me. My name is Tommy. And here I have my boss, the man who made the Don popular again. Here he is, Don Vito Pugliese. Good afternoon to you, or even shall I say good morning?
Because Tommy, thank you for inviting me here.
You're welcome. I mean, you know, I've someone who has a name the same as Don Vito, you know, the Italian legend. I thought, you know, I'd have to have you on my podcast, you know, and it's a pleasure to have someone like you on here because, you know, the whole idea of the podcast is that there is inclusion. You know, everyone is invited. The doors are always open, no matter who you are, where you are, what you are, as long as you're an English teacher, then you can always be welcome on the English podcast. You know, so. Don Vito Pugliese is in the house and he wants to tell us something about, I don't know what he wants to tell us about. He was going to tell us about the importance of English in the 21st century, but then I told him to go and think about it again.
as a new teacher, because I haven't done this for long, I haven't done this like for 3 years or so officially. And it's very interesting to discuss this with a lot of people, the importance of English right now. Back in the day, maybe in the 1980s, at least here in Venezuela or maybe in Latin America, English was not that relevant. You know, you could develop your life, your skills in Spanish, and you would make a lot of money. You could work easily here without English. Right now, if you don't speak the language, you are limiting yourself to what you can do in your own country. So it's a reality right now. Most people ask me to, but why do I need to learn English?
Yeah.
Well, you can live your life without English. That's fine, but you will have to stay here or at least in a Spanish speaking country. Yeah. That's a reality.
Yeah. And I don't know what it's like in Latin America because, you know, I've never been. But I know here in Germany, there's a lot about the importance, a lot of people talk about the importance of being a native speaker, talking about being a non-native speaker. The discussion is very hot. You know, it gets people hot under the collar. To get hot under the collar, by the way, means people get sort of angry about the situation. It's a nice phrase that you can use in any situation, business or pleasure. So I don't know what it's like down in Latin America, but you know, there are lots of different teachers on Instagram who promote the idea of speaking English language, which is important. But in Europe, in Venezuela, is there an idea of that you have to be a native or do you have to be non-native, or is it like really doesn't matter whether you're either or?
In Venezuela right now, you know, there's a lot of people leaving the country. We're not going to talk politics here, but it's obvious for most people. Not everyone speaks English. For example, you can ask someone, hey, do you speak English? ¿Tú hablas inglés?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. The pencil is yellow. Yeah, of course. And you ask them questions, and most of them don't know how to answer them because they don't have maybe enough vocabulary, or they are too nervous, or I don't know, whatever the reason.
Mm-hmm.
But they are very limited because most people here have learned English on their own.
Mm.
So they have never had like guidance or anything to learn or improve their skills.
Mm-hmm.
So, but most people here are natives, Venezuelans, you know. Yeah. I've met Russian people, American people, but Just a few. And by a few, I mean two people.
that's interesting because it's interesting where English speaking people go in the world. You know, I know one English speaking teacher. She's down in Latin America. She comes from She comes from the United States, but now she's in Ecuador. You know, so it's interesting that you would head down to one of the poorest countries in Latin America to go and teach English. But hey, that's perfectly fine. If you go down, you can do whatever you want, wherever you want, and it's always good to spread that. It's always good to spread the knowledge. So you say that there's an importance of learning English in the 21st century. There'll be lots of people nodding. You know, there'll be lots of people nodding in the audience. You know, in the virtual audience, who probably, yeah, it's important to learn English in the 21st century. But you're not giving me anything new here, Vito. Give me something that I can really put my teeth into. So give me something juicy. Give me something meaty.
Well, you know, for I think one of the most important thing is I'm going to talk, you know, Venezuelan context. Most people, especially here where I live, when you ask people, hey, how did you find this work or this job? Well, I sent my resume and I said that I speak English. All right, and do you? Well, yeah, I can write.
Yeah.
Okay, and have they listened to your speaking, to your pronunciation? And this is everything in Spanish, okay? I'm not talking in English with this person. No, Vito, I use the translator all the time. All right, well, that's interesting, because what would you do if they ask you to join a conference and you have to speak? Well, I hope they never do that, Vito. you know, it's funny, because most of times we think we need English to find a better job, and it's right.
Yeah.
If you want to find a better paid job, even from your country, from Venezuela, for instance, you need to speak English.
Yeah.
You know, most of the job offers go like, you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And another requirement is you need to speak English at least B2 or C1 level.
Mm.
And it's like, wow, there's a boundary, because if you don't speak English, or if you don't have a good level of English, then you cannot submit anything or any proposal to that job, because there's nothing you can offer to them, because you won't be able to communicate with them, you know?
Yeah. Why is it, you know, there are going to be people who are asking questions like, yeah, okay, it's all well and good learning English, and it's all well and good saying, okay, I can speak English at a, you know, I can speak English at a B1, B2 level, yeah? But does that really mean that my writing, that my listening and my grammar knowledge is really of that level? Or can it mean that my, you know, that the different skills are at different levels?
Well, I think that depends on what your task or your job is going to be. For instance, if you're going to speak to people on the phone, maybe your writing is not that important, or maybe your reading is not that important. Of course, you will have to read some documents, but it's more important your speaking skills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have a good skills at speaking English, well, for most jobs, you're good to go.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, we want, send us, most job offers says like, hey, send us a voice recording to see how your speaking is. And if you don't have good pronunciation or nice conversational skills, they would say like, okay, your English is fine, but it's not what we're looking for. So thank you very much for applying, but see you next time.
Yeah.
Speaking, that's why people, especially what most of my students tell me, is they want to improve my conversation skills. Because most jobs ask you to have good speaking.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I mean, I personally think that speaking is one of the most important things. You know, I mean, we can write things, we can listen to conversations, but how, if someone asks me in a conference about a certain topic, you know, whether it be business topic, whether it be, you know, free time topic, you're like, wow, you know, hands and feet, you know, it makes you're really put on the spot. You know, you're sort of like, I really don't know how to answer that question. You know, I've seen people in the past that I've taught, you know, and you give them a simple question like, okay, tell me about your week at work. And they'll be looking at me, they'll be like, yeah, I don't know how to start that. I don't know how I can really start answering that question. It's like, okay, question, is it about that you don't know the words? Or is it that you know the words, but you don't know how to put them together? You know, and they'll say both. It's like, okay, well, you know, you're meant to be already at a B, your level is apparently a B2. How do you not know how to put words together in a conversation? You know, and that for me as a teacher is the hardest part when someone says to me, you know, when someone comes to me saying I'm a B2 level, and I ask them a simple question, tell me about your week at work, and they'll be like, oh, I don't know how to start doing that. It's like, Well, then in that case, you really can't be a B2 level if you don't know how to put a simple sentence together. Let's quickly move in the direction of different media. Now, I know you're going to probably hate me for doing this because, you know, this is something which I was hoping, you know, but it's just a hope that perhaps you might be able to give us a little insight into how we can improve our different skills, listening, reading, writing, speaking, with different types of media, especially in the 21st century.
Well, there are so many resources that are at hand to practice and improve our English level. When it comes to speaking, the one I consider the most important for most people, of course, listening to music, as we have spoken before, you and I, listening to podcasts, watching movies. You know, I'm married and my wife is learning English, and she's always like, Vito, we're going to watch Orange is the New Black. Please stop pausing the episode and rewinding it, okay? Yeah. Because sometimes when I listen to a new phrase or an expression, I like to go back to it, replay it, and then say it back myself, you know, to repeat it with my own words.
Yeah.
Because when a phrase is not common to me or not usual, I'm like, what does that mean? I want to listen to that again and find the meaning to that expression.
Yeah.
And do that with every expression that I think is useful.
Yeah.
I do that with music. I do that with TV series, movies, and all that when it comes to speaking. And of course, I talk to myself all the time. I write sentences. That way you can practice your writing.
Yeah.
Keep a journal and read those sentences, you know, with your own voice.
Yeah.
Try to read it out loud. Most people are maybe afraid to speak because I don't like the way I sound in English, but it doesn't matter. Try to do that, and that way you're going to improve your speaking as well, and your writing too.
Yeah. I mean, you just said something there. Speak to yourself. Talk to yourself. That I mean, you know, lots of learners are probably going to be sat there in their chairs and be like, oh, you didn't just say that, did you? You didn't just say that to me. And I'm just going to say, yeah, Don Vito did say that because, you know, when Don Vito says something, he means it. And if it does mean standing in front of a mirror and looking at yourself in a sort of Robert De Niro, the taxi driver way and asking, are you talking to me, you know?
Are you talking to me?
Are you talking to me? Then yes, we do mean that. You came up with a really quality series there. Orange is the New Black. Now,
yeah, it's a nice show. I really like it.
It's, for me, when I started watching it, when it first came out, I remember watching it on Netflix, and I was sort of a bit mystified. You know, it felt quite surreal, you know, watching these women who are, you know, lesbian, bi, this, that, the other, whatever it might be, all convicts, and they've all got stories which bring them to this one place, Litchfield. Would you like to tell us a little bit about Orange is the New Black?
Well, it's based on a true story because it happened to Piper. I don't remember the real last name, but it's something that really happened.
Yeah.
And she's telling us to the audience her experience inside Litchfield. She had many adventures there. She met new people. She had the opportunity to know different backgrounds because she was this elitistic person. You know, she had money. She came from a nice family.
Yeah.
And she ended up in prison.
Yeah.
So now you can see other people with different backgrounds, different stories that ended up there with her.
Yeah.
And she had to learn about the environment inside that place. She had to learn that she was not the only person there who was afraid to be in that kind of environment.
Yeah.
And she had to adapt. Yeah. And that is really interesting, because when we learn a new language, English, for instance, we need to adapt ourselves to a new culture and a new set of people, new insights, new yeah. thoughts, because everything's going to be different from what we know.
Yeah.
Sometimes I had this conversation with one fellow teacher, and he said, "Vito, when we speak English, we sound differently from the way we sound in our native language."
Yeah.
And that's so true, because in my particular case, I try to copy or imitate people from the United States or England, and those patterns are reflected on my speaking.
Yeah.
So the same happens when you, for example, when you and I have spoken in Spanish, you say, "Hey, don Vito, ¿cómo estás, hermano?" That happens a lot
yeah.
in a bilingual or multilingual environment. Yeah. You have to adapt, and you have to learn new things.
Yeah, all exactly. the time. It's interesting you say the word adapt. You said that Piper, she adapted to the situation. I remember at the beginning of the series, she was, to put it in an expletive, shit scared. You know, we're not going to be, there's no editing in this, by the way, so every word that is said will be kept as it is. Will be kept. So she was, quote again, shit scared. And I remember, you know, I remember watching it, and I always kept on thinking, why does it keep flashing backwards? Why were there these flashbacks to, you know, before, you know, when she was on the outside, meaning not in prison. And then, you know, then she meets, was it Voz, yeah, her girlfriend, this woman who then becomes her girlfriend, who becomes her lover. And the idea that they were then together on the outside and on the inside made Piper's life, I think, a little easier for her, because she has someone in there who she could always sort of lean on. You know, there was someone who she could rely on the inside in prison. If she was having a bad day, then she'll go and see Voz. You know, if there was a problem, she would go and see Voz. You know, it was like, there's always something like this. Is it important when we go on our language journeys that we take people with us, that we say, "Can you help me? Would you be able to be my sort of guide, my source of help, should I need it in the future?" Is it important to sort of have someone on the inside?
Friends and family and acquaintances are always important to learning a new language.
Mm.
Because when you are alone, you might think, "Yeah, I can do this," but you won't ever have all the answers you need.
Yeah.
So you will have to ask all the people, you will have to do some research, of course, and talking to others is a great way to improve that, to improve your skills at speaking that language.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, relying on people is fascinating, it's fantastic. It's a great thing to do when you want to do something new.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I don't know how to say this in English, to do CrossFit, to start CrossFit, to... Well, I started exercising 1 month ago, and before that, I exercised with my wife here at home.
Yeah.
But as soon as we signed up to this CrossFit thing, we have been practicing with a coach.
Yeah.
And it's been, you know, easier for us to train because we have someone who already knows all the things we have to do.
Yeah.
And she motivates us. She encourages us to keep doing it.
Yeah.
You know, when you're alone at home, maybe you're like, "Well, I think this is enough for today." Maybe it's not enough, but you think it is because you're doing it by yourself. But when you have someone to rely on, they could tell you, "Hey, it's not enough. It's been only 5 minutes. You need to do 30 minutes."
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Would you say would you say that the moral of Orange is the New Black is that we can actually rely on people who to begin with, we don't trust, who we think are you know, they see, you know, they're different, they are different to us, you know, because in Orange Is the New Black, we have the different, how can I say, people put together, you know, the white people, there are the black people, we're going to use the correct word here, Afro-American people, then we have the Latinos from different parts of Latin America, Mexico, I believe there was someone from
Dominican Republic,
Cuba, I believe there was also someone from Cuba as well in this, I mean, you know, wherever they might be. So can we say that the moral of the story is that we can, despite being different to people, we can trust, we should trust these people to help us?
Yeah, because, we watched this episode last night, spoiler alert, one of the characters is killed by accident, and all the factions get together to face the guards.
Yeah.
You know, even though they had differences with each other, they hated each other, if we could say that word, they stick together and they faced the common enemy. In this case, the common objective is learning English. So you can get together with people to improve your English.
Super.
Which is the global, la lingua franca nowadays.
The lingua franca, exactly. Well, I mean, that's a nice little, it's got a nice, Orange Is the New Black has a nice little sort of a metaphor for learning language. You know, I didn't think about it to start with, but your analysis of it is quite interesting. So that's very kind of you. That's actually really good of you to point people in that direction. So if anyone's thinking, what was that series? The series is called Orange Is the New Black, and you can find it all over Netflix. And I guess you can find it on other TV networks in your local, in your area, perhaps, if they're replaying episodes. So then we come to the final question. Why should we learn English in the 21st century?
Well, if I could put it all together in one answer, would be to improve your life. Okay? You can improve your life by learning just one language.
Hmm.
It's spoken in over 57 or 60 countries all around the world. It's very popular among businessmen. It's the language of business.
Yep.
So if you are dedicated to trading stuff or selling stuff or doing business with other people, if you speak English, you could do it from Thailand, maybe Japan, China, Germany, and it won't limit you in when it comes to communicating to other people. So it could improve your entire existence, basically.
Improving your entire existence. That is a nice way to finish this episode. Then before we drop out here, the question would be, where can we find you? Do we have any, do you have any courses that we can enroll on? Anything that's in the pipeline that perhaps people might get excited about?
I give private sessions to students who want to improve their English, especially Spanish-speaking people, Latin America, Spain, or wherever they might be. You can find me, or people could find me, at Speak English Like a Boss, speakenglish.likeaboss on Instagram and on TikTok as well. So if you want to check out my content, go over there and you'll find me.
It's interesting because he's named himself the boss. And he is Don Vito. Yeah, this is interesting. Yeah, this is Mr. Vito.
I didn't come up with that name. When I was doing this at first, I didn't know how to open my new Instagram account. And my sister told me, Vito, let me think of the name and you do the rest. And she gave me a list of possible names. And this one caught my eye because it ended with boss, you know, and in terms of having a new job or having your own business, you have to be the boss.
Yeah.
So if you want to do things right, you need to do the right things. So you need to speak English like a boss.
Exactly. Exactly. Why not? Yeah, exactly. 100%. 100% correct there. So Don Vito, Mr. Vito Pugliese, we'd like to thank you for joining us this afternoon. For this episode, and I can hear a sound in the background coming. It's getting louder. I've always wanted to do this. I don't have any special. There are no special effects in this episode. In any of these episodes, it just comes out naturally as it is. We'd like to thank you for your time, Vito. It's been a pleasure. We hope that you will come and join us again very soon. Thank you very much. And you, dear listeners, are you now going to use Orange is the New Black as your metaphor for learning English? Will you trust those people that you, at the beginning of your journey, perhaps wouldn't have trusted? Would you say that you are like one of, you are like Piper at the beginning of the series, where she doesn't trust anyone, or Piper at the end of the series, where she can always rely upon everyone within the community of Litchfield Prison? That's down to you, dear listeners. I'd like to thank you once again, Vito. So it's another thank you from Venezuela.
Well, Venezuela is a beautiful country. So if you ever want to come by, come visit. It's a beautiful country.
And that's your invitation to go now and visit Don Vito in Venezuela.
That's right.
And it's another final goodbye from me. Goodbye, but you will remember to join me again for another episode of the English Podcast with Tommy. So, one final goodbye from Mr. Vito.
Thank you very much, guys. See you soon.
And one more goodbye from me. Goodbye now.